praise you for the beauty of the day now that you've given to us here. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you, Father, for just giving us the things that we don't deserve, Father, and for your grace. Your grace is just something else, Father. Your love is just something else for us. And we thank you and praise you for it. We ask now, Lord, that we, as we bring this lesson forth, Lord, that we just quiet our hearts, that your Holy Spirit will just enlighten us, that he will teach us the things that we need to learn, and that you would just help us this day. We praise you, Father, for just all things you do for us. Give us the guidance and direction that we need now. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, Colossians chapter 3. We've been going over some different things, and I think that, first of all, if we want to raise children, we need to make sure that we have things squared away ourselves before that we try to even bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as he wants us to do. And we've just been going over some different aspects here of it. Let me just start Colossians chapter 3. Let me start reading in verse 1 again. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, or destroy, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now," and he says, "but now ye also put off all these." And this is what we just started with last week. Putting off. We have to put these things off. We got to work at it somehow, some way to get these things put off. Here, you know, if you want to, if you want to bring your children, if they see you're angry all the time, he says, put off all these things. Anger, which we had gone over last week. Anger, if they see that you're angry or you get angry all the time, what do you expect that they're going to do? You know, it's just, you just have to be careful, because what you do is what they're going to do. They see you, they mock you, they follow after you, and they will do these things. And he says, put off anger. So we need to learn to put off anger. And then we had gone with wrath. We had talked about wrath. That's where we left off last week. Wrath, and that's lasting anger. That's after anger comes. That's the things that happen and take place after anger. The pastor's been going over on Sunday nights the wrath of God. And don't tell me it's not the wrath of God. Well, the Bible even tells us that, but back in Revelation, where all the things that are happening and taking place, the wrath of God is coming out upon this earth. He's judging this earth. He's judging those people who did not want to follow him. He's judging just all the aspects of it. And he's showing them, you know, his wrath. When he takes and makes a... He says they look, their locusts that look like half horse, half man, that has face of a man, it's got tails like a scorpion, and it stings you, and you can't do nothing. You know, you might as well call it torture, if you want to call it that, or you call it whatever you want to. But, you know, his wrath is coming out when he takes a third of the land and he burns it with fire. His wrath is coming out. When he takes a third of the people and kill them, his wrath is coming out. When he takes an earthquake and thrashes everything around, his wrath is coming out. We just been hearing about some earthquakes just here in the news. If you've been listening to anything on the news, we just had some earthquakes here lately. And it's devastating. I mean, an earthquake is devastating. You know, you think about it. I think about driving on 99 there at Axeman, where they have that great big high bridge. And you're going across there and an earthquake happens. What do you think is going to be left of you? And that bridge goes, whoop, and that baby's up there. And I mean, it's up there. If you never looked at it, look at it once. You'll see. Of course, I shouldn't tell you that. Now you probably never drive across it again. But it is, you know, that's something. You know, and it doesn't matter what man made. You know, God has something made that'll take it off, you know, just like those bridges. They're not going to last in an earthquake, especially, 7.2 or something like that earthquake, man, they're gone. I mean, everything like that's gone. When it destroys homes and stuff like that, you know, that's a wrath of God coming out. And, you know, he's given everybody opportunities. He's given them opportunities, but his wrath is coming out, you know. And so that's just something that we have to be careful ourselves, you know, with raising children. You know, that the anger, but then afterwards. And I understand. I mean, I understand some of the things that people, you know, that comes across your day. And we don't know what day, what each day is going to bring as far as that goes. You know, I mean, Natalie here said just, you know, a couple weeks ago about, you know, everything was just chaos at her house. It's probably chaos all the time, but, you know, it's chaos at her house. Now, you know, this child's doing this, that child's doing that. You know, you're trying to do this, you're trying to get this accomplished, trying to get that accomplished. And sometimes it just starts boiling, you know, and it comes up and it comes out. You know, and you have to be careful about it. We talked about three different things. One, the Word of God. Try to memorize the Word of God to help you with that. Number two, you know, we can take and pray. Van said about prayer. Prayer is a good thing for it. And number three, music. You know, there's three things there that you can go with, you know, that can help your anger, you know, help to calm you down, help you so that you don't, you know, take it out on the kids and things like that there, you know. And that they see that you get that way. My wife and I, we used to argue, and I didn't want to argue in front of the kids, but there's times where we did, you know. It happens, you know. You don't want to do it, but yet it happens, you know. And so, you know, you just have to be very careful on what you do, you know, and how you bring these things out. So we left off here now. He says anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Okay, malice was extreme enmity of the heart, a disposition to injure others without cause for a more personal gratification from a spirit of revenge. You know, wanting to try to get even with someone or something, you know, something like that there. So that's what malice is. Blasphemy. And here's where we're picking it up today. Blasphemy. He says to speak evil of, to utter abuse against, to speak reproachfully, to speak of the supreme being in terms of impious irreverence, to revile or speak reproachfully of God and the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy. So we have that. We see that you know, blasphemy is something that is not very good. Let me show you just a little bit. I think we've read this before, but I think we'll read it again to you. Go to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. Let's start reading in verse 10. Leviticus 24, verse 10. Says, and the son of an Israelish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shiomith, the daughter of Derbi, the tribe of Dan. And they put him in a ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger, as he that is born in the land, and when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. You know what? I don't think that I would have anybody to work with. at my job. Men, you know what I'm talking about. Ladies, if you're out in the workforce, you know what I'm talking about. There's a guy that I work with right now. Right now. And they have to put him with me all the time. And I wish they wouldn't do it. But every other word, if it's not every other word, or every word that comes out of his mouth, is thou, blasphemy, corrupt, everything. It just comes out of his mouth. You know. And I keep thinking, wow. You talk about the anger and the wrath of God coming out upon people. It's no wonder. It's no wonder what you read in Revelation. It's no wonder why that happens and takes place. You know, it's something else, you know, that it does, you know. So, you know, here a son, a child, this woman's son, blasphemed the name of the Lord and they killed him. You know, if they would stone people today like that there, maybe this here wouldn't happen and take place as much. But, you know, we have our freedoms and stuff like that today, you know, and we can't abide by the laws or anything like that. So that's just it. 1 Timothy 1:13 says, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. 1 Timothy 1:20 says, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Wow. Paul delivered them unto Satan because of their blasphemy and stuff like that. James 2:7 says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Revelation 16:9, and the men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of the Lord, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They blamed it on God, and they blasphemed him because of that heat, that scorching great heat. Think about it. What's the matter with people today? What does it take to wake them up? I don't know. I don't know. But he says, blasphemy. Now, this goes along with the next one, but anyhow, while I'm thinking about it, has there been a time in your life, and I'm sure there has been, that your kids said something that they shouldn't have said? Some kind of a thing. But what happened? They heard it someplace. They heard it someplace. And what happens? It comes out of their mouth. Now, how do you handle that? You know, how do you handle that? How do you handle something like that? Let's just stop right there.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to hit up on that, how you handle it? Oh, Amy?
Well, Isaiah, one time there was a word, and we addressed it, but then he continued to, when he was playing, he would use it. But, of course, he's using it exactly like he heard it, so he knows the appropriate time and place to use it. And so he was warned that he would get soap in his mouth, and I used liquid soap, and he never did it again. So, it took a long time for him to get it washed out of his mouth. So he has never said it, or, you know, cussed again or whatever. So.
Anybody else want to hit up on that? Yeah, you have to explain it to them. They have to understand that that's wrong. You know, that's your job. That's your responsibility. You know, to do that. And you must explain it to them, you know, that, you know, you don't use these kind of words. You know, you're teaching them God's way. Here he says right here in Colossians chapter 3, You're dead with Christ. You're to mortify, you're to destroy these members. You're a new person in Christ. Now, maybe your children aren't saved yet, but you are teaching them that. What do you think may help them to learn to come to Christ, you know, if you're not teaching them nothing? If you let them go, which we're going to get into the lesson, and I want to point it out and show it to you, how Eli took care of his boys, did nothing. Zero. If you don't do nothing, then that's what you're gonna get. Nothing. But you need to teach them. You need to show them, you know, what's right and what's wrong that way. That's what helps them out. Okay? We'll just go in here to the next one. He says, put off. You know, you're to put off this. You're to put off this blasphemy, you know. You're to put off this filthy communication out of your mouth. Filthy communication out of your mouth. And filthy means corrupt. Corrupt means bad. It's decayed. It's rotten. It's like rotten vegetables, you know. Sometimes you go out into your garden and there's vegetables out there are rotten. Animal substances. Animals, how they rot up, you know. I see deer along the road. Are hit and they're just rotting up. Nobody's picking up or anything. And these buzzards are coming and eating them up. A tree that doesn't produce fruit, you know, it's corrupt. It's no good. Jesus said about it. Let me go back here and read this to you. I didn't write this one down. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 17 to 20. He says, Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, he's explaining there something also different there a little bit. But he's trying to explain, you know, there about the difference between good and evil amongst people. And you can know them by their fruit, you know, he says. But this filthy communication that comes out of your mouth, you know, that he says, out of your mouth, you know, you got to put it off. Some people just don't understand it. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, if you are someone that's saved, and you go out here to work, and you don't talk any different than what you did before, what have you gained? I work with a guy like that. I used to work with a guy like that. Now, he wouldn't let it fly when I was around him, because him and I, you know, we had some different discussions. But he wouldn't let it fly when I was around. But when I wasn't around, he'd let it fly. Some of the guys would come and tell me about it, and there was times where I was that he didn't know that I was, and I heard it coming out of his mouth. Now, he was a Christian, and then in one breath, he's cussing and carrying on, and the next breath, he tries to witness to them. Duh. What did he do? He did absolutely, positively nothing. Nothing. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So that he had all these hearers, but he had this filthy communication coming out of his mouth. And there's so many around that's like that. There's lots of teachers out here today. There's lots of preachers out here today that just don't get this stuff. They think you can be saved and be like the world, period. And yet they don't read their Bible. They just don't read their Bible. Ephesians 5:4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. James 4:3-4 says, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. It's the tongue. The tongue can start wars. That's all it takes, is the tongue to start wars. It can start anything, you know, the tongue. Plug in your brain before you speak. That's the best thing to do, you know, before you even talk. When you are talking to somebody, you know, don't be afraid to hesitate and think about it before you say it, you know. Because sometimes we say things, you know, and that tongue, it's just, you know, think about what you're saying. That tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. And it's going to defile. This filthy communication that comes out of your mouth, you know, that we just have to be careful with. 2 Peter 2:7, and deliver just Lot, vexed with filthy communication of the wicked. 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. So, you know, we're to watch what we say. Filthy communication, he says. Put it off. Put it off. You say it, your kids hear it, they're going to do the same thing, you see. So, you know, we need to put it off. Put off these things. It's just something that we need to learn to do, to put off, you know. It's something that I myself have been learning to do, you know. Especially the anger part. I just got to be careful about my anger part, you know, especially at work, you know. Some of these guys sometimes, even my boss the other day, the big superintendent comes there, and he's always telling us, we are not making no money. I get so sick of hearing that. We're not making no money. He's making money. Believe me, he's making money. Especially what they call force account, which is time and material. How can you not make money on time and material, you know? But anyhow, he said, and I told him, I said that I've been drilling now, and our drill stopped on us 10 times the other day. It took me forever to drill 2 patches. And I said, you're not going to get 15 patches done a day with that thing there that's not working right. Well, nobody told us. Well, my anger kind of broke up there a little bit to him, and I kind of said, oh, yes, somebody did say something. But then I walked away, so, you know, I'm learning. You know, I didn't stand there and keep it up. You know, I'm learning. So, you know, I didn't tell them who we told it to or anything like that. But, you know, but anyhow, it was just one of them things. And so, you know, you just have to work on these things. Put it off, he says. Put it off, you know. Just like when the pastor went over this here and those two words, put it off, came out. And I seen that and I thought, and I had a bad attitude that night. And I thought, wow, I got to put that off. And that's what I did, you know. That's what I did, and that's what stuck out to me here on this. So we put it off. Okay, questions or comments on that? Go ahead.
How do you teach your children?
I don't know.
Duct tape.
liquid soap. I don't know, you know. It's surprising how, you know, that you, I mean, it's not even taught to them, you know, and, you know, anger and things like that come out in them. You know, it's amazing, you know, even a little baby, you know, sometimes you know that they throw a fit because they know that they're controlling you by throwing that fit. And that's where you've got to, you know, right then and there is when you've got to, that you know it, then you need to do something about it. You know, because if not, they're going to continue to learn to control you. And so you just have to be so careful, you know, about that. Anybody else want to hit that one up? Give her some advice?
I think some of it is teaching them respecting you. And as God does to us, fearing you.
that learning to respect and how we can do it, because kids are different. You know, what you can do is do something with one kid and something different with another kid. I think it's that knowing of respect and fear that can help.
I've heard the comment already, put the fear of God into them, so I don't know if that works or not. Corby?
We just have one that, if he doesn't even end up being a lawyer, I'd be surprised, because he's so good at manipulating, you know, he'll get in trouble for something. Now he used the example this morning, she's like, would you just stop and listen to me, because she had mentioned something four times that it didn't get done. It was addressing the whole crowd of kids at the table, and the one says, but you don't always listen to us. And it's like, yeah, in a sense he's right. There's times that you don't have time, or there's something else that you're attending, and you don't get to his needs immediately. And he just spins things around on you, all so often. And we're just battling that lately. It's just like, how do you get? It's like, in one regard, he's right, but yet he's not, because of the way that he's doing it. It's his attitude toward the thing.
Well, I said a child's name three times, and the kid kept talking and kept doing what they were doing until he stopped and finally listened to me. And then he'd get a comment from someone else, and it's just like, but there's a difference, because I am to be an authority over you, child. You know, there's times where, you know, when I say your name, you stop and you listen. Whereas to, there's times where I'm dealing with somebody else, and somebody comes in the room and goes, Mom, you know, expects me to stop right then and there. It's like, you can't do that.
We're just not getting through those needs. Sorry, this is where we're at today.
No, that's all right.
About the whole morning this morning. And, yeah, we're just beating heads.
I understand. Anybody want to help them out there a little bit?
Things don't get fixed by one time addressing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it is. They, you know, well, you don't do this. Well, I'm not supposed to submit to you. You're supposed to submit to me.
But it is rebuking because there are times where he's got some justification of what he's saying.
But still, they're subverting
Yeah, and you can't. You just can't let them manipulate you like that. Don't let. See, they're work. He knows he can work on your feelings, because you're thinking about it, and you can't. You can't do that. You cannot let him work on your feelings. You can't do that. You just, you know. And it's the same way here. What she's saying here, you know, the kids want to have fun all the time. Well, you got to teach them that life isn't fun all the time. You know, it's not fun all the time. I wished it was fun all the time myself, but it's not fun all the time. You know, and the older I get, the worse it gets for me, you know, as far as that goes. How many of you older people wake up in the morning and you got something new aching in you that gets my goat? Every morning there's something new all the time, you know. Life isn't fun anymore, you know, as it was when I was younger. So, yeah. Yeah, and just keep working at it. Just like he said, you got to keep working at it. It's not a one-time deal. You just keep working at it. After a while, you know, they should get it. Should. Sometimes it takes a while, but they should get it, you know. Definitely. Anybody else want to hit up on that? Go ahead. Go ahead, Lisa.
I'm far cry from a perfect parent, but I am trying to really think about myself, and sometimes I find myself in these really bad mouth battles with him, and I just, I'm ready to explode. And I'm just like, you know what, Nathan? You know what? Take this up with the Lord. You just take this to the Lord, because I'm done. He gets quiet. It doesn't work all the time, but sometimes he doesn't turn around. You know, because of something as stupid as I pulled him down, but he's pissing off his way.
Well, Corb, you may win the battle, you know, if you keep at it, you know, you may win the battle, but a strong-willed child, it probably won't leave him. If you're scared of that leaving him, you know, by standing up on his own 2 feet, I don't think you need to worry about that. Because when we get in, we're going to get into a strong-willed children, you know, strong-willed child. We're going to get into that, but you know, I'm not going to get into it today. But I'm just telling you, you still need to win the battle, but it ain't going to leave.
And it's going to be directed the way that needs to go. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. They can, yes. And that's what you probably need to work on more, as directing it to the good than towards the evil part, is what I would tell you, you know. Okay, anybody else? Good stuff, go ahead.
Understand that.
But yeah, putting him in the place of authority, you know, and that's teaching him authority, you know. I'm accountable to God, and that's what we'll talk about a little bit when we get into Eli. He was accountable to God for his boys, but it ended up that they had they were no good for nothing. He did nothing about it, and the family got a curse put on them for life because of it. Abiathar, who was one of David's priests that went along with Adoniah to take over the kingdom, he was some of Eli's family. And you read about it and see what happened to him because of it. It was a curse that was on the family for life.
Something else in this situation, too, is that child is using a wrong to justify another wrong. And that would be another way, thing to bring into the discussion. Yes, there are times when I fail. But that doesn't mean I'm going to allow you to be wrong as well. And you'll stress that submission.
Okay. All right, verse 9, the last one here that he has to put off. He says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." He's saying there that you're putting off the old man. Put off the old man and put on Christ. Put on the new man. New men should have new manners and new garments. You're a new man. You're to cast off those old rags, that sinful estate, and never allow it to dishonor or defile you. You know, you put it off, you know. You're a new man now. You're a new person with all this. Just not only the lie not one to another, but, you know, to put this off. Leviticus 19:11 says, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And always keep your ears open when somebody's talking to you." You're not always lying if you listen. I didn't say nothing. I didn't say a word. I'm telling you. They just don't listen. Isaiah 63:8 says, "For he said, surely they are my people. Children will not lie." So he was their Savior. Jeremiah 9:3 says, "And they bent their tongues like their bows for lies, but they are not violent for their truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." Verse 4, "Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders." And verse 5, "And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and they will speak of the truth that they have not. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Ye are of your father," John 8:44 says, "ye are your father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Ephesians 4:25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking evil, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Titus 1:12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So he's saying, lie not one to another. Lie not one to another. Have you ever been around somebody that you know is lying to you, and they actually believe their own lie? You know it.
We call him president.
You're right. You're exactly right. I have that superintendent that I talked to, that I just said about here, that you know, that I was telling you about, that you know, kind of got a little huffy with. The man, whenever he speaks, it's a lie. We know it. Everybody at work knows it. He's lied to me over the winter here so much, it's been unreal. Every time he called me on the phone and told me I was going back to work, I knew it was a lie. And I didn't even pay no attention. I said, yeah, okay. And I would hang up the phone because I knew it was a lie. That's just the way it was. I was supposed to start clear back in January, the beginning of January. You know when I ended up starting? Late in March. And I mean, he called me I don't know how many times. Just a lie. You know it's a lie. You know. He told me I was going to go to this job and do that. And then I hear and find out that the job's already done. They're liars. You know, they just lie. They lie to you constantly, all the time. You know. You know, you can't do, you children can't hear that. They can't, you know, they'll pick up on that. They will pick up on it. If they pick up onto it, that's why they will tell you, that's why they say to you, did you do this? You know they did it. Did you do this? Nope, I didn't do it. Did you do this? Nope, I didn't do it. They push it off onto somebody else. Grown-ups do the same thing. Grown-ups do the same thing. There was just been an experience just lately here where somebody got blamed for something and the person wasn't even around. Wasn't even around. That person was a liar. They lied to them. The kids pick up on that. You just have to be careful, you know, when they're especially around other people that you know that doesn't tell the truth. You know, be careful. Be careful who they're around and stuff, because there are people that do lie, and they will lie to them, and they'll pick it up on it. Comments. Go ahead.
Okay, questions. When you have a child that struggles with lying, I mean, it's just almost a natural thing for them to do. So, like, if they were told to do chores or do schoolwork or do, you know, all this stuff, they have, and this is new for me because it's just started within the past year that it's really gotten worse, they just say, yeah, I've done it already. You know, I don't have the accusing one another thing. I only have two kids and it's not that bad. But the, you know, yeah, I've done that already, but you go and you can absolutely tell they didn't do it, or the schoolwork's not done because there's no work in their notebook. How do you deal with that continual lying? How do you get them to stop that? Because then you address it and they're so, you know, they seem repentant, very, very repentant, but yet it's just such a natural thing that just comes out of them.
And then they do it again.
It's just so natural out of them. It's like, how do you correct it? How do you get it to sink in that this is wrong? God hates it. I mean, you show them the verses that it's one of those things God hates.
I think they're so sorry, so they won't get the punishment.
Yeah.
And then they turn around.
Oh, well, they still
get
the punishment,
and then
they
still do it again.
Yeah, and it just doesn't stop. It's just a natural thing that just pours out of them. Yeah, I did that chore. I mean, they do enough to think that they're okay. They can get by, you know, but it's not, oh, no, mommy knows they didn't. I just want the lying. I want to know how to correct the lying. I don't want it to be something that they do all the time.
Anybody want to address that?
The repentance is can be manipulative and not authentic. And, you know, they know what you expect, and so they're going to give you what you expect to make you think that everything is okay. And you just have to find a punishment that is going to be severe enough to make the consequence greater than whatever the sin is that you're doing, in this case, lying.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You've punished them, all right? Just like you're saying, they go back and do it. Okay, give them a harder punishment. Do it again. Give them a harder punishment. Just keep working it, you know, more and more. You know, you got to take something. I think you got to take. Sometimes you got to take something good from them that they really. Oh well, I know it worked. I know it worked with my one son. That's for sure. He wanted his four-wheeler so bad, but Dad took it. He wanted to ride. He wanted to ride his motorcycle, but Dad took it. It took a little bit, but it sunk in. You know, I think you just keep working on the punishment. You know, get it, make it harder and harder and harder.
Where I wish they were little again and I could just smack them, but they're to the age that's not, you know, that doesn't work anymore.
Don't be surprised.
Yeah, you haven't found the right one yet. I don't think that will sink in. You got to keep working on that, though. You keep working on that. I think you'll find the right one that sinks in.
When you say something good, it should be something like with church, that is good spiritually, like that for them. Because some parents have done that. You know, like you can't go to Truth Crackers.
Yeah. Lisa.
I think it is the Bible verse about what God is asking, but three things: heartily and unto the Lord and not to man. And I know a lot of times when I'm, for example, at work, you know, I could kick a group under the camera gun and bend down and pick it up. And it's that constant knowing that I'm not doing it for another person. And I'm doing it as unto him. That kind of stuff to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we got to stop there. I know we didn't answer that question very good, but think about it. Maybe we can talk about it the next time. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the day now that you've given to us. We thank you for the lessons that you have told us here, Lord, now to put off. And we're going to be getting into now the stuff that you want us to put on. And so maybe that'll help out on some of this too. I don't know. But we just ask that you would just guide us and direct us with that. And thank you for the lesson today. And be with us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.